Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next few minutes, please stick around. Stay with me. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education. And we do this without manipulation. You know that. You hear me say it every Sunday morning there on your local radio station. But the Flatline is designed to teach God's unique problem-solving devices, something we desperately need in today's situation. Having a main line of resistance in your soul that stops the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. That's why we always have said adversity is inevitable, but stress is optional. This show talked about soul renovation, changing the way you think, letting your mind change. Remember, you hear me say, God gave you two ends, one to sit with and one to think with, and success in life depends on which one you use. You remember that? Well, the Bible talks about acquiring the mind of Christ in Philippians 2:5. That means changing the way you think. That means beginning to think in terms of divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint. It also says it in Romans 12:3, where it says, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think, but think in terms of humility as God has given to each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. So my job as a communicator of information is to be squared away, accurate, truthful, not to mislead you, not to use any gimmicks and not any games, but to give you just simple, good, verifiable information that you can take and apply into your life. That's what I seek to do. And any of the shows that we do, you know, you can always get the transcripts of these shows. All you have to do is go to our website, rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org. And you can request any of our books, or any of our transcripts, or I think my 800 number is there. If you need to make a call to us, you can do that as well. But we don't have any way to solicit money on that website. We're not asking you for money. So just keep your money. This, the Lord's in it. He pays for it. That's always the way it goes. So we don't have to solicit funds. There's no PayPal or request for finances there. So let's get going, okay? If you want to learn some more, stick around. Hang in here with me because this is a critical time in your life, a critical time for you to orient and adjust. And I hope that these messages will give you that insight in how to do that. This message is called The Importance of Faith, The Importance of Faith. The word faith is the word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, in the original languages of the Greek New Testament. And the verb is pistuo, faith and believe, same word, faith and believe. The believe is the verb, faith is the noun. So listen to Hebrews 11:6. Here we go. You ready? But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the one thing that God demands from you is faith. We know that faith comes in several stages. There's saving faith, where we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, and we're going to talk about that today. And how it's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God. So, but the verse here that we're looking at, it is, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently. There's a word I want us to take a look at this morning. Exateo. Exateo. The Greek word. Exateo, and it means to search out or investigate or even crave for. So the question is, do you have a craving? Do you have an insatiable desire to investigate the plan of God for your life? Are you hungry for that? You know, the Bible says when knowledge becomes pleasant to your soul in Proverbs, a lot of people don't seek out knowledge. They're not interested in knowledge of the Word of God. It's either too threatening or too boring, or they just don't believe it. One of the several options there. But what about you? Do you find the Bible relevant for your life? Are you interested in knowing God's plan for your life? Because if you are, you're tuned into the right place. Not that I have all the answers. I'm not a pastor. I'm not representing any denomination. But I'm telling you, as it comes from the Word of God, through my lips, what the Bible says in Psalm 19:1. How can I find God? Well, let me give you one way you can do it. Psalm 19:1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hand. Day unto night uttereth speech, and night unto night they show knowledge. There is no speech and no language anywhere where their voice has not been heard. All you have to do is look up and realize there's a God. The heavens tell the story. The sun in the daytime, the moon at night, the universe, the stars, the planets. This didn't just happen to appear. They were placed there by a magnificent designer. God Himself placed them there. And so it can be someone in Africa, it can be someone in America, it could be someone in Egypt, it could be someone in the Arctic. All they got to do is look up and see and realize there's a God. The heavens declare the work of His hand. Day unto day they utter speech. And you want to hear what the speech is? I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And night unto night they show knowledge. What's the knowledge? This is not an accident. This is God's design, God's plan. So Isaiah 40, verse 26, lift up your eyes. Look to the heavens. Who created all of this? It's He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name because of His great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Could you imagine if some astronomer looked through his telescope tonight and Saturn was missing, Venus was gone, or some universe somewhere was not there anymore? What would he do? God holds it all together. And here is what I really like. He calls one by one, calls forth each of them by name, by name. Principle is this. If God knows the name of every star in the entire universe, and I read it to you, He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each one of them by name, if God does that, then can He not know who you are as well? Yes, He knows who you are. He knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows what you're going through. This is the omniscience of God, and it's demonstrated by this thought that I just read to you. He's omniscient. So if you're His child, by faith, in the finished work of Christ on the cross. That means if you have believed and received Christ as your Savior, what do you have to fear? Not one thing. Because if He can keep this entire universe in order so that not one star is missing, can He not keep His eye on you? Yes, absolutely. You have nothing to worry about. One, under no circumstances are you ever to let fear control your life. Never. And two, each of us have a divine promise of security and the provision of peace in the midst of frightening circumstances. I'm going to read that to you again so you'll hear it. Each of us have divine promises of security and the provision of peace in the midst of frightening circumstances. We are in some frightening circumstances in the United States of America today. Who knows where we're going or what's going to happen? And as I record this, and you'll hear it 3 or 4 weeks later than what I recorded it, but we really don't know what's going on with this Corona 19 virus and where we're going to go financially or physically, emotionally, spiritually. Who knows? But anyone who's a short-time truster, those Christians who never really develop a flat line in their soul, they will never enjoy the benefits of security or happiness in the devil's world. They'll never have it. Because there's always the dread on the horizon. You know, like, what's coming next? If you think this is bad, Corona's 19, you haven't seen anything yet, according to the Bible, what comes down in the tribulation. What can happen in the fifth cycle of discipline is a client nation like America goes under the discipline of God. Because we turned our back on Him, or any client nation turned their back on Him. We're not the first client nation in history. But you can say we haven't exactly kept His name front and foremost. We've found every law we can to kick Him out of the public venue, kick Him out of schools. That is the God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that used to be evil, we now make it good. And everything that used to be nasty and evil and perverse is now okay. I would say we're in trouble. I would say America is in trouble. And I've told you before, the train whistle's coming, the train wreck's coming, and you can hear the whistle blowing. So sooner or later, if you haven't seen anything yet, sooner or later, the storm will hit your life. And here's the problem. If you've neglected God, and if you neglected His Word, you will have no peace or no comfort in the storm. You're going to be on your own. You're going to be struggling, trying to make sense out of it instead of relaxing and using God's problem-solving devices. Your prayers might not even be answered if you try to do the right thing in the wrong way. Remember, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if you're frightened to death, fear is a sin. So if you're trying to pray and you're in fear, don't expect that to be answered. You got to confess the sin first. Remember that. Because fear quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit and doesn't let Him control your life. Your sin nature thrives on fear. Your sin nature thrives on emotional revolt of the soul, letting your emotions take over. That's not the way the Holy Spirit operates. The Holy Spirit says, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness. You remember all that Galatian passage. You're not being filled with the Spirit when you're running around like a chicken with his head cut off in the yard. So come on. Sooner or later, there's going to be a storm in your life. And if you're not doing the right thing in the right way, you're not going to have any peace. Proverbs 1:7, the respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But unfortunately, this verse goes on to say, fools despise wisdom, and fools despise instruction. They don't want it. They don't want it. They don't want anything to do with it. And that's a shame, but that's what's going to happen. Because the fool is wise in his own eyes. He thinks he's smarter than God. He thinks he doesn't need God until all the stuff hits the fan, and then he wants the God in the eight ball, the genie in the eight ball, to pop out and make it all go away. There are a lot of words of comfort found in the Bible. I mean, they're not in the daily advice columns that the cosmic system offers. I mean, in my local newspaper, we got two or three daily advice columns from female women that tell you how to handle social situations, but they're not what the Word of God says. Listen to this. The words of comfort you need are found in the Scripture. And what you'll find in the advice column are empty words, words that carry no weight. Ephesians 5:6 talks about this. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words. What's an empty word? That's a word that doesn't have a doctrinal application. It doesn't come out of the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God lives and abides forever. Empty words are words that someone comes up with in some arrogance, self-righteousness, whatever, and they try to explain what's going on. Can't do it. Can't live with empty words. Empty words are especially religious words. Religion was the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was the empty words of the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were taking people to hell, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to rescue them and deliver them from the empty words of legalism. Legalism. You know what that is? That's somebody tells you, oh, you can't go to heaven, brother, if you smoke that cigarette. You can't go to heaven, brother, if you drink that beer. You can't go to heaven, brother, if you watch that TV show. That's legalism. There's always some self-righteous Christian that'd love to run your life for you. The Bible doesn't say anything like that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says a lot of different things, but not what I just told you. And anyhow, persuasive words is another one. Empty words carry no weight. Persuasive words. Oh, now here we go. Colossians 2:4. I say this so that no one will deceive you with arguments. See, we got deceive again. Deception. Deceive you with arguments that sound reasonable. You know, there are only several ways to perceive truth. Mysticism, rationalism, empiricism. Rationalism is trying to rationally come up with some answer. You know, like we're really just millions of years old and we came from a monkey and all that sort of stuff. Sounds reasonable, you know. They're going to come up with some scientific explanation. Don't let anybody deceive you with some reasonable sounding hypothesis of rationalism or empiricism. where we take scientific data and try to come to some kind of conclusion. It doesn't make any difference if the data is flawed already. The way you come to truth is pisticism, and that's the word faith. Live by faith. We operate by faith. We live by faith. We focus on faith. We spread faith around, and that's the key word for you. Those that come to God, as I started off saying, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You must have faith. Faith is not empty words. Faith is not persuasive words. And faith is not deceptive words. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. In their greed, Peter said, they will exploit you with deceptive words. Well, that could be the televangelist right now. That could be what's been going on in this country for a long time. People making money off of God, exploiting people with promises that they can't fulfill, selling things that are unnecessary, and basically trying the patience of God. That's exactly what's going on. So successful living in the devil's world requires accurate instructions. If you want to live in the devil's world, where you are right now, you're here, you've got to have some accurate instruction for you and for your children. So we start off with Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Here we go. This is where we say, children, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother. Those words lead to authority orientation. And unless a child learns authority orientation in the home, then he is going to be maladjusted in life with some sort of flaw in his life. Incorrigible person that's going to be hard to deal with. Honor your father and your mother. Obey your father and your mother. Two different words. Obey, hupotasso, is the Greek word. And it's a military thing, like a about face, attention. And the soldier snaps to attention and makes the pivot and goes in the opposite direction. That's what this word hupotasso means. It's an order of a command. Children, obey your parents. And when they don't obey, there's always a source of discipline. Sometimes you can do the Greek word paideia, and sometimes you can do the Greek word nousia. So paideia means to put something on them with a paddle, and nousia means to put something in their mind. There are two ways to discipline. You discipline with instruction, and you discipline with pain. It's the same thing God does to you when you disobey Him as a believer. So the children have to learn authority orientation at home. You have to encourage positive volition to your children. Explain negative volition, positive volition, and expose them to the Word of God. Expose them to the biblical premise, principles and truth of the Bible, and let them see that you believe that and you live by that. If you can expose them to Scripture by nightly Bible reading and explaining what it means to them, you'll be way ahead of anyone else, because Satan wants to steal their thoughts and inject fear through their mind through intimidation of death. That's exactly what he wants to do. And he'll do it to you, too. He will steal your thoughts, especially in this crisis we're going through, and inject fear through intimidation of death. Where did I get that? Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. For as much, then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, likewise took part of the same, flesh and blood, that through death on the cross he might destroy the one that had the power of death, that's Satan, that is the devil, the Bible says, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their life subject to bondage. Through the fear of death were all their life subject to bondage, Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. This is what Satan uses to manipulate people with. This is what Satan uses to intimidate people with. Are you afraid of dying? Has this virus gotten so out of control that you're afraid you're going to catch it and you're going to die? Are you? Where's your faith? You must trust God. You must know He's your Heavenly Father and He loves you. He's not going to hang you out to dry. And if He does call you home, you'll be going to a much better place than a sin-infested world where the real virus is sin and death. That's the real virus in this country and in the whole world, sin and death. And it started with Adam, for by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, and now death has passed on all. There is an antidote for sin and death, and that antidote is faith alone, in Christ alone. God's textbook for you is the Bible. the Bible. Why was the Bible written? Well, Proverbs 1:2 says, so you can learn wisdom and moral instructions and get some wise counsel. You know, since we're all infected with this sin and death virus, we ought to learn how to avoid letting our sin nature lead us to an early death, right? Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. There's the sin and death virus right there. I'm free of that thing because I have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've learned God's wonderful problem-solving devices, starting with rebound, where I don't have to let my sin nature control me any longer. I don't have to live by fear. I don't have to live with intimidation. I can stand on faith in God's word and God's promises. Exactly what Moses told the Jews as they fled out of Egypt and got to the Red Sea and it looked like they were all going to die. He said, stand still and watch what God's about to do. Can you do that? Can you just stand still and watch what God's about to do for you? Well, listen, you want to learn God's unique problem-solving devices? You want to learn his unique protocol plan for your life? I hope you do. Not many people really want to. If you look across this country, there are not a lot of people that are really interested in learning anything except what's on TV tonight or what their favorite sports team are doing or something like that. As Jeremiah faced it in his generation, here's what he said. For my people are foolish. They have not known me. They're stupid children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil. Oh, yeah, they know all about that. But to do good, they have no knowledge. Jeremiah 4:22, the exact same thing we face today. Stupid people that think they're wise in their own eyes and have ignored God's word and God's system of divine institutions, and it brings us to places like where we are today. Jeremiah 6:10, behold the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. They don't like it, don't want it, not interested in it. This plan that I'm talking about for you starts with God's loving grace. The grace, John 3:16, is plain. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's as plain as you can be. He loved you in eternity past. Before you were born, he loved you, and he provided for you a way out from the law of sin and death. The virus of sin and death is no longer controlling you. And so it all starts with God's loving grace. Grace. For by grace are you saved by faith. And you know where it goes from there? It goes from there to mercy. God's mercy. Not by works of righteousness, Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Spirit, which he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you know that's what happens to you when you get saved? God the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. He sets up residence in your soul, Ephesians 1:13, and he dwells in you. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day that God takes you home. So we have grace and we have mercy, but mercy comes before forgiveness. From grace to mercy to forgiveness. John 3:36, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That's forgiveness. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins were paid for, judged on the cross, and they are forgiven. From forgiveness comes peace. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither do not let it be afraid. My peace I leave with you. The Lord Jesus Christ was at peace even on the cross. And you can be at peace even in a scare such as America is facing in these days. And from peace comes contentment. Contentment. Philippians 4:11-13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned whatever state I'm in to be content, whether I have a lot, whether I have a little. He said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. In everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full or to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need, because I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. That needs to be your verse today. You need to understand that. You can do all things through Christ because of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness and the peace that comes with it and the contentment that's a result of it. From contentment comes confident expectations. From contentment comes confident expectations. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Do you have that peace that comes from trusting Christ? Do you experience contentment in your life? Do you have a relaxed mental attitude based on your confident expectations of what God can do and will do? I mean, you should, and you can. Learning God's plan for your life takes a little bit more time than just reading a short daily devotional. Nothing wrong with that, but consider it's just an appetizer, not the full meal. The real chef for your soul is a well-qualified pastor who can expound the Scriptures and teach them to you. As the Bible says in Ephesians 4:11-16, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. That's one word, pastor and teacher. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to become mature men to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, so that we're no longer children carried to and fro, tossed around by waves and the wind and trickery of men. That's why you got a pastor. That's why God gave you somebody with that gift, so you can grow. Do you have one? Do you sit under the authority of a qualified pastor? Do you learn on a consistent basis? If not, you're never going to grow up. You've got to do that. If you don't understand this, contact me. Get a hold of me. I'll tell you where you can get under a real, great, fantastic, qualified pastor, and you can study even in the confinements of your own home. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you now for listening to The Flatline.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm Rick Hughes, your host, and inviting you to stick around for a few minutes, 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and it'll all be done without any manipulation. The Flatline is designed to give you accurate information to help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you can do that, you certainly have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. You always hear me tell you that God gave you two ends, one of those ends you think with, one you sit with. And success in your life is going to depend on which one of those ends you use. Heads, you'll win. Tails, you'll obviously lose. So as we give you information and coming out of the Scripture, out of the Bible, it's called wisdom from God. It starts off acting as knowledge. When I teach you something, it's called knowledge. And in the Bible, there are two different words for knowledge. There's one word called gnosis. Excuse me. Gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. And then there's a word called epignosis. Epignosis is the preposition full knowledge. Knowledge and full knowledge. I can give you knowledge, but I can't give you full knowledge. The only way you can get that is to, by positive volition, believe the word of God you hear and apply it into your life. Once it becomes epignosis, full knowledge, then it's converted into wisdom. Once you have wisdom in your soul, you have discernment and insight, the phenomenal ability to have X-ray vision, to see through the devil's lie, to see through the delusion the devil throws forth, the mirage, the stuff that's not really true. That's what wisdom gives you. The wisdom from the Word of God, from the Scripture, can save your life. Wisdom from Scripture can deliver you from financial disaster if you listen to God and pay attention to God. And so we give you this information hopefully to develop some sort of divine viewpoint in your life, which is the viewpoint of God having what we call the mind of Christ. That's Philippians 2:5, you developing the mind of Christ so you have the wisdom that is discernment and insight into what life is all about. Now, there's no doubt, as I talk to you today, we're living in a crisis. I don't know that there's ever been a time in this country that's like this. I don't know if we've ever even seen anything like this. There are mixed messages going around, threats of isolation and impending death. I mean, they abound everywhere in big cities and around the country. Folks are being told not to come out of their home unless it's absolutely necessary. Fear and panic setting up in local communities and in the financial world. It seems to me like people are jockeying to get the most food they can, the most paper products they can, even the most money they can, because greed and fear have gripped this country. Well, what about you? I want to ask this simple question. Are you afraid? I mean, I'm recording this show in late March, and it probably won't play to early April, but what will happen between now and then is a big question mark, because I'm not a prophet. But here is something that I do know about. The enemy, a.k.a. the devil, we use our fear to make us weak, and this includes spiritual warfare, even physical warfare in a physical enemy. America's enemies, and whoever they may be across this great world, will use this national panic to gain an advantage over us. But the greater problem for us, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, is this problem. Have we allowed fear to control us? Have we let fear take us over? Because the more you surrender to fear, the more you fear. And there has to be a better way to live according to God's Word. And quite frankly, there is a better way to live. You don't have to live under fear. The Bible's clear about that. So let's talk about that a little bit this morning. The believer, that's you and me, who have trusted in the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have advantages and assets that the unbeliever does not have. I've often said this. I know you've heard me say this on this radio show. There's a train wreck coming, and I can hear the whistle blowing. Well, I think the train wreck may be here. We're kind of standing at the crossroads right now, and the warning thing is down, and the lights are clanging, and the train is barreling in closer. As we watch our nation sink into the depths of medical uncertainty, as we watch America sink into political unrest, you and I have to ask ourselves, how in the world do I maintain a normal life in the middle of all these abnormal times? Is it possible? And the answer is yes, it is possible. I mean, I'm not qualified to give any sort of medical or financial commentary, but I can give biblical encouragement during these changing times. So let's make no mistake about it. We're going to witness a fundamental change in our daily lives if this stuff ever runs its course. But don't act surprised, because as a nation, as a great nation like America, most of our people have turned their focus inwards, and they've been focusing on the gifts of prosperity, and they forgot the giver. That's really a shame. When you focus on the gift, and you forget the giver. And sometimes in a crisis like this, the gifts of money and the gifts of health, you know, you get scared, and you start looking to the giver and saying, oh, please help me. Did you forget that we're living in the middle of an angelic conflict, and this worldwide event that we're going through, and what we've been facing is an opportunity for Satan to gain an advantage over you and over the nations. But what's bad is that we're going to sail through these uncharted waters, and many who are in the storm have no moral rudder, no anchor in their soul, much less a port to pull into where they could ride out the storm. Because churches are forced to close, and many do not have the harbor to pull into. You know, the local church, many lost people do not see the beacon of hope shining from the lighthouse of the local church, illuminating the entrance to the port, the local church. This means that you and I must be the harbor of hope, wherever you are, wherever I am. We must be the light for our family and our friends. We must have a peaceful presence to calm their fears. Is it possible for us to have this? And the answer is yes. Is it possible? Can I have peace in a worldwide panic? Yes, absolutely yes. The storm about you will rage and the battle will continue. The battle, what kind of battle? The battle to control your thinking. The battle to get you to live by your emotions and not think clearly. This is how the devil defeats you. If he can get you to live by your emotions and not think clearly, because the enemy that we're talking about, a.k.a. the devil, seeks to vindicate himself. He doesn't want to go to the lake of fire, and he wants to control his world. This is his world, you know. The Bible says we live in the devil's world, and we're sojourners. We're passing through. Our heaven is, as the Greek word says, Uranos, or heaven. We know heaven is our home, Uranos. So the storms are going to rage. The battle is going to continue. If it wasn't this, it would be something else. But we could face a historical disaster in America, and it could be full of personal catastrophes, as we're seeing today. But as a growing believer, we can shine our light in the storm and still be standing when the storm dies out. Much like a lighthouse in Michigan that I've walked out on the pier in Michigan many times, up around Grand Haven or Holland, Michigan, or Saugatuck, Michigan. And those lighthouses stand out facing across Great Lake Michigan towards Chicago or Milwaukee. And they are a way, a signal to get back to land safely coming across Lake Michigan. You can be a light like this. You can be the port in the storm. In Matthew 5:14, the Bible says, "You are the light of the world." And this is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples as he gave the Beatitudes in Matthew 5:1-14. And our Lord stated that we should not cover our light, but rather set it on a lampstand. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your divine good production and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what we have to be. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're full of panic and fear, if you're intimidated by these circumstances, your light is not shining. You have to stand firm and tall and confident and full of assurance and full of faith, and you will be a beacon of hope to those around you that don't have those things. John said that Jesus was burning and shining lamp. And he told those people that came to hear him, "You were willing for a time to rejoice in his light." That's what people do. They accept Christ as their Savior, and then they forget about it. That's what Revelation 2 talks about to the church at Ephesus, where they forgot their first love. "You've lost your first love," Jesus said. The only way to keep that light bright is to stay in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a problem-solving device that we call occupation with Christ. Remember, on the flat line of your soul, this is what's important. In these days, you must have a flat line. All these 15 years I've been teaching about a flat line in your soul, a forward line of troops, a main line of resistance, not the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. Now's when you need it. And if we go through them again, rebound, problem-solving device number one, and that's how you get rid of the problem of sin and failure, because we all are infected with that virus, the virus of sin and death. And then the filling of the Holy Spirit is how we deal with the old sin nature that we have. It's a way to live without letting the sin nature control our life. That's why the Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit wars against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other. So when we rebound or when we confess and own sin, we allow the Holy Spirit to control us. If we don't, then we allow the sin nature to control us. And Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be filled with the Spirit, not the sin nature." So constantly you and I must keep a close check on sin in our life. And fear and worry definitely are a sin in your life. Fear and worry are definitely a sin in your life. You got to remember that. So by using the problem-solving devices, it is possible to come to the faith rest drill. In the faith rest drill, you're standing on God's promises, you're relaxed, you're confident. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible that you can lean on and you can trust on, and that's part of the flat line of your soul, using the faith rest drill, claiming a promise, getting a biblical rationale, and understanding what God's doing. These are promises you should know. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in him. No weapon that is formed against you will ever prosper, the Lord says. And many more we'll talk about. So we have the rebound technique, problem-solving device number one, the filling of the Holy Spirit, problem solving device number 2, the faith rest drill, problem solving device number 3, grace orientation, orienting to the grace of God, how he saved us by grace, we live by grace, we die by grace, and there's even surpassing grace in heaven. Biblical orientation, another problem solving device, orienting our life to the mind of Christ, thinking as Christ thought, having divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint. All of these first 5 things give us a personal sense of destiny. So we know God has a plan for our life, and he has a plan for your life. And that plan's not to throw you under the bus. That plan's not to see you die in a pile of dust on the side of the road. That plan is for you to be a light to the world and to glorify Jesus Christ as you represent him to your friends. If you love the Lord, that's personal love for God, the greatest virtue you could have. That's another problem-solving device. And then you have impersonal love for mankind. The mandate that we've been told to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, a great problem-solving device. And then sharing the happiness of God. My joy, Christ said, I leave with you. And then eventually, occupation with Christ. Occupied with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear people sometimes say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes that kind of gets me a little hackled because he is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And sometimes we get a little bit too familiar on first name basis here. I mean, if you saw the president, you would say, hey, Donald. You wouldn't call him Donald. You'd call him Mr. President. The Lord Jesus Christ, being occupied with the anointed Son of God, is an amazing problem-solving device because you know he loves you, and you reciprocate that love by loving him back, and it's demonstrated by your obedience and your faith. So, Jesus was the burning and shining lamp. And many for a time followed his light, but many wandered off to the side. But here's the neat thing. If our Lord could calm the raging storm of John 8:18, he can calm a storm in your life that you face if you would just let him captain your boat, get in your boat. Listen to John 8:18. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. And so they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles. These are Peter, James, John, Andrew, the fishermen. And they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat. And they were afraid. You see, Jesus scared them more than the storm scared them. Isn't that interesting? But he said to them, it is I. Do not be afraid. And then they willingly received him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Let's get some principles on this. This is very interesting. 1, a relationship with Jesus Christ does not remove all the storms in your life. A relationship with Jesus Christ does not remove all the storms in your life. But he will give you his assurance that he will ride out the storm in the boat with you. He is in the boat with you today if you're occupied with Christ. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, rebounding the sin, Christ is in the boat with you. 2, accepting Christ as your Savior is you inviting him to get into your boat. I want you to notice this. He took those disciples to the other side. They didn't even have to row anymore. He just, bam, they were there. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you turn your life over to him by faith alone, in Christ alone, you're inviting him to captain your ship. And when you're staying filled with the Holy Spirit, when you're learning God's word and applying the principles of faith to your life, when you're growing in grace and when you're developing divine viewpoint, coming to a personal sense of destiny and increasing your love for God, listen, this is what it means to be riding out the storm. This is what it means for Christ to be in the boat with you. This is amazing. There's a storm going on in this nation today. And a lot of people have Christ in the boat, but they're not letting him control the boat, to use that metaphor. He's not in control. To some people, he's still out there on the sea. He hadn't even got in the boat yet. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be confident. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you in any storm in life that you may ever face. God loves you. That's such an amazing statement. It's so simple. And yet you, a small speck of sand in the sea, God knows you. God loves you. And you say, but you don't know what I've done. No, I don't. You don't know what I've done either, do you? He loves us. He loves us in spite of who we are. He loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to pay for our sin. The overwhelming love of God is it's immutable. You can't even, it's inscrutable. You can't fathom it. You can't think of it. You can't imagine it. It's just amazing. It is God. God is love, the Bible tells us that. And he loves you today. You don't have to be afraid of anything. You don't have to fear anything. Just let him take control of the boat. And you be the light. You be the port in the storm. The Lord sits in heaven at the right hand of the Father, but you have a personal pilot. That pilot is just like any big ship that has to make its way into a big harbor, a big port. They have what's called a harbor pilot. And they go out and get the harbor pilot to bring the big ship into New York or to bring the big ship into L.A. But the harbor pilot is the one that guides it in through the channels and through the narrow waters. Well, this is what the Holy Spirit does for you. The Holy Spirit is your harbor pilot. He leads you to the security of the port, where the storm cannot get to you. Remember, this is why we studied the flight line, so you can have a main line of resistance, a spiritual radar that sees through the fog of the devil's deceit. That wisdom we've been talking about on this show, the one that gives you insight and discernment, is your radar system. It's the system that the Word of God illuminates the lies and the evil plans of Satan. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 13. The entrance of your Word gives light. The entrance of your Word gives light. There you go. Right there it is. Go outside tonight without a flashlight. Stand in the dark. Take your flashlight and pop it on, and there's light. That's what the Word of God does for you. The entrance of your word into my soul gives me light. I can see now. Or Psalm 43:3, oh, send out your light and your truth and let them lead me. It's amazing. It's amazing when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you've learned God's word and applied it, the light is always with you, guiding you through the storm of life. It's called biblical orientation or doctrinal orientation on the very flight line of your soul. That's what it is. God the Holy Spirit plus the Bible doctrine gives you the peace that the world does not have. The world doesn't possess it. The world doesn't understand what it is. They don't have peace like you can. You can have peace in the storm even though the waves may be raging. Do you remember Matthew 8 when the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep in the boat? This is another episode with the disciples, and they woke him up and they said, Lord, save us, we're going to die. Now, he was in the boat with them asleep. They actually thought for a minute that they would drown and Jesus would drown. The Lord Jesus would drown. That's not going to happen. That was not God's plan. God's plan all along was for him to go to the cross. And when he got up, you know what he called them? He called them short-time trusters. Can I ask you a question? Are you a short-time truster? Do you trust the Lord Jesus Christ and the provisions that God has for you because things are going great? The grocery store was open. You had money in your bank account. You could get fuel for your car. Or when things started getting a little tight, did you quit trusting and start scrambling around and worrying and being full of fear and manipulated by Satan? That's the question I'm asking you. Your peace in this storm that we're going through is attractive to a lost person, the disadvantaged person who's alone. So the whole reason for you to have that flight line in your soul and have that relaxed mental attitude is to be attractive, to be a light, to be a port in the storm, because there are people in this nation that need what you have, and you know, you must talk about it. Listen, if you're a fan of football and you're an Alabama fan or an Auburn fan or a Michigan fan or Ohio State fan or a UCLA fan or a fan of Texas or a fan of Texas A&M, you're going to talk about it. But how many people are Christians and say, well, that's a personal issue. I don't really want to talk about it. That's bull. Talk about it. Let folks see where your confidence comes from. Let folks see where your love is demonstrated for God and His Word. It is an anchor for them. It is a port for them. It's a light in the storm for them. Your confident expectation must be demonstrated. So John 14:27, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's what Jesus said. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Troubled and afraid, these are sins. Fear is the expression of anxiety, not peace. Listen to 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a lifestyle of fear, but of power and of love and of sound judgment. That's the lifestyle Paul talked about. You don't have to be afraid. Nothing to be afraid of. If the Lord Jesus Christ is in the boat and the Holy Spirit is directing it as a harbor pilot would, and the Word of God is illuminating, lighting the way, what do you have to be afraid of? God was in business before you got here. He'll be in business even when you're gone. You have sound judgment because that's called faith. Faith, a lifestyle of power, that's the filling of the Holy Spirit. A lifestyle of love, that's personal love for God, impersonal love for others, and of sound judgment, that's wisdom with insight and discernment. That's what God's given you. People are always afraid. If they don't have something, they're afraid they'll lose it. Excuse me, they're always afraid if they have something, I meant to say, they're afraid they'll lose it. And if they don't have something, they're afraid they're never going to get it. That's how people live today. No matter what the circumstances, we live in insecurity in this country. It's just the way it is. Because fear is both a sin and an emotion. And you can't let emotions run your life. Why? Because fear will rob you of the ability for you to think under pressure. You can't think when you're afraid. Your mind will wag like a dog's tail that's excited to see you. You won't be able to focus. You won't be able to concentrate. So problem-solving device number 3 on the flat line of your soul is called the faith rest drill. And you know what that does? When you use a faith rest drill, it robs fear of its power. The faith rest drill robs fear of its power to control your thinking. That's what it does. It orients you to God's grace. It calms you down. You claim a promise. You go to a biblical rationale and you form a conclusion. God's with me. God knew about this was going to happen a long time ago. I have nothing to sweat. He's in charge. He sits on His throne. He knows everything that's going on. And you can relax. So faith rest is fueled by the promises of Scripture. You know, we have a book on promises, and it's free if you want to have it, Bible Promises. All kind of promises for all kind of situations that you're in. Feel free to order it, and we'll be glad to ship it right out to you free of charge. We also have transcripts of all of our shows in the last year, especially the year 2019, and it's a whole year's worth of messages. And we'll be glad to send those to you in 3 volumes, and you can read them and study them when you'd like to. This is developing faith rest, fueled by the promises of the Scripture. And your faith rest is demonstrating your confidence in God's plan and your confidence in God's provision. You must have confidence. So Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes all things, even things like going on in America today, to work together for good to those who love Him and to those who are called according to His purpose. In Philippians 4:7, and the peace which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Guard your heart and mind. Keep you from being panicked. Keep you from being afraid. Keep you from falling victim to your emotions. It's amazing how the answers are right in front of us, all right there in the Bible, in the Word of God. I'm so glad I can give these radio shows to you. So glad we can bring these messages to you. So glad we can offer you this information, free books, and all the stuff that goes with it. So if you need anything, give us a shout. We're here, and we thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. or online at www.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.